we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. Welcome to one of the most beautiful places to live that I have ever found, and that is Brevard County, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's my privilege to say Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there in Brevard County, whether it's a biological father or you're a spiritual father. You know, the Bible says, you know, there aren't that many spiritual fathers. And so I pray that God has blessed you with a godly man in your life, one who can nurture you and speak words of life into you. And if not, I pray that this radio program will at least fill in a portion of that capacity. But you really need, if you're going to have a spiritual father, it's not just listening to someone's voice, it's having a relationship with them. And I am thankful, thankful for my father. He's still alive, and have got to spend more time with him this year than in years gone by, and very thankful for that. But my spiritual father is still alive. He's a retired pastor, getting ready to turn 92, I believe. 92 this year, 91, 92, and still alive. And my daughter got to see him here just a few weeks ago. And so thank God for the godly men in your life. Because I don't always remember to bring my cheat sheet here with all of the phone numbers, I want to take just a quick moment here and remind you of those people who are a blessing to the radio program. And we want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. There is also Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. Someone called earlier this week and wanted that number, and so you know, they can ask for Greg there, and he will get you fixed up. Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, they travel all throughout the county, 632-9538. And someone who's just helped our family a great deal here over the past several months is Teresi Auto, sales and repair. Joe Teresi and his son Michael and their team there. 632-9777 is the number that I have for them, and they can take care of your auto repair needs, or if you need an automobile, they can help you out with that as well. So, guys, why don't you join us this weekend? We've got seats available. In fact, with our youth and children's ministers and their family gone over the next 6 weeks, we even have more seats available than customary. And so we have room for more. We have plenty of seats that we can throw out there, and we would love to have you come and be a part of that. So we've got a cookout this week. After the service, we're going to be providing the hamburgers and the hot dogs, and we're asking anybody else who comes and wants to stick around to bring the baked beans and the coleslaw and the potato salad and the dessert. So if you would like to come and hang out with us Sunday night, we do not have a service. We're going to be relaxing and enjoying our time with our families. It's going to be my son's first Father's Day as a father, and his wife's going to be her first Mother's Day or first Father's Day as a mother. And so our first grandson came not long after Mother's Day. And so I'm sure that this is going to be a great, great week here. And in the next few weeks, we're going to be having a tremendous blessing at our church. Looking forward to that a great, great deal. So let's take you to Isaiah today, Isaiah chapter 17. We spent yesterday's broadcast talking about the reality and the mindset of Satan, but the reality that God triumphs over him. and very excited about that. Really like that. Today I want to tackle the 17th chapter of Isaiah, and it begins very interestingly. I'm going to start off reading the first three verses, and then we will touch on some other things here as we go along. But in chapter 17, verse number 1, it says, "The burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They will be for flocks which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The fortress also will cease, the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts." And so we're going to stop there for just a moment. The first thing that I want to share with you is that this passage contradicts a mindset that many people have towards the Word of God, and especially to the Old Testament. And that mindset says that, well, God was only interested in speaking to the Jewish people. God was only interested in speaking to the Jewish people. And since I'm not Jewish, therefore, nothing that he has to say is pertinent to me. Some people will frame the conversation in this manner: nothing in the Old Testament has any bearing upon me because I am living under the New Testament of grace, and I don't fall under the bearings of the law. And I want to remind you, when God speaks, he's no respecter of persons. The New Testament is quite clear. In his eyes, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, between Jewish or Greek. There's that dichotomy among men. We separate people who are different from us. God unifies us by his word and by his love. And so here, this passage in Isaiah is given to Isaiah, who's a prophet to the nation of Judah, and yet here he is speaking to Damascus, which is the capital of Syria. Syria and Israel, the 10 northern tribes, had come against the two southern tribes. The king of Assyria ended up conquering both Syria and Israel and carried the people of Israel off into captivity. So I want you to see that when God speaks, it has bearing in your life. So I speak to my children differently than I speak to others. And so, when I'm dealing with a minor, when I'm dealing with a young person, I always communicate through their parents initially and say, okay, am I able to speak into this person's life? Even though you may have important, credible information to share, until that person is ready to receive that information, you are wasting your breath. If they're not going to receive it, they're not going to receive it. And so here, God makes it clear that he speaks not only to Judah, not only to Israel, but to foreign governments as well. God is and always has been the one who causes kingdoms to rise and to fall. And when he speaks, governments would be wise to listen. Not just ancient governments, but modern governments as well, because his title is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At his knee, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Gospels make it clear that there's going to come a time when there is a separation of the sheep and the goats. You look at that very carefully, and you will see that it is the nations that are separated there. It's the people groups who are separated, one who ignored the needs of humanity and the other one who did their ministry to humanity, because they realized that when they administered unto the least of these, they administered unto God. And so God speaks and nations listen. And it says here, "Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city." God's word can impact a city. It matters not how large the city is. It doesn't matter how diverse it is economically or population-wise. When God speaks, that city will either thrive or it can dry up. There are vast numbers of examples of places here in America that were once thriving communities that are now ghost towns or abandoned or just a shell of their former self. Things progress, things move on, and we need to be of the mindset, hey, God, what do you want to have for? You see, if we would listen, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows every step in the process in between. And so if we will listen to him, he will help us. I want you to know, we appreciate the heritage of Merit Assembly of God. We're now into our 65th year of ministry, but we are not stuck in 1952. We are in 2016. And we're not stuck in 1992 when I became the pastor. When I became the pastor, I was also leading the worship, and all we had was a tambourine. Thank God I didn't have to play the tambourine this last weekend. And so we are thankful for our heritage. There are people who went before us, and we are building upon what they built. What they did to the best of their ability, we're thankful for that. And so we don't look like we did, we don't act like we did, but guess what? I still preach like I did in 1992. I hopefully preach better, but the passion that I preached with then is still the passion that I preach now. We may only have 50 to 60 people in our congregation on Sunday morning, but in my mind, I am preaching like I'm preaching to a much, much larger congregation. God says to this city, you are going to cease from being a city. Do you realize that every church in America is one major scandal away from being a ghost town? And so when we have an anniversary, I want the people to know that I appreciate them, because guess what? I know what it was like to pastor that church when they weren't there. Did something at our service last week that I hadn't done, or if I had done it, it had been a long time. I asked how many of you people had attended at least one service in the 1970s. One person's hand went up. I asked how many of you attended at least one service in the 1980s, and there were 5 hands that went up. I asked how many people attended at least one service in the 1990s, and more hands went up. And I asked how many of you have started attending since the year 2000, or between 2000 and 2010, a few more hands went up. And then I asked this question, and this got me so excited. I said, how many of you have started attending this church since 2010, just in the last 6 years, and the majority of the hands went up. Most of the people in our congregation have just started attending in the past 6 years. Thank God for his faithfulness. And so we are looking, I look to pastor in righteousness, because righteousness exalts a nation. It exalts a people group. And so we want to be a holy church. We're not looking to build a crowd. We're looking to build a body of mature believers in Christ who can be used for the glory of God. So this is a chapter that begins speaking to Damascus, which is the capital of Syria, and God's word is going to prevail. And he begins to tell them of their current situation, that they lie down and no one makes them afraid. They're very comfortable in their political and geographic strength. And it says this, and at first this sounds like a very promising statement. It says that their glory, the remnant of Syria, the kingdom of Damascus and the remnant of Syria, they will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. That sounds very, very promising, except for the reality that Israel is on the verge of ceasing to exist as the 10 northern tribes. And he said, you're looking at the same fate that they are looking at. And all of a sudden, when you see the demise of other people, and you say, and somebody says, your future is going to look like that. Well, if it's a man, you can say, you know what? There might be another opinion on that. But when God speaks to that, it is fact. It is coming. And there needs to be a warning given to that. By the way, there's one other example that we have of God being so concerned about a foreign country, and that is the nation of Assyria, whose capital was Nineveh. And God commissioned one of his prophets, Jonah, to go and preach repentance to the city of Nineveh. It was a city that there was 120,000 people living in, and God said, should I not be concerned about them? And so Jonah didn't want to preach because he hated the Ninevites, and he knew that if he went and listen, I hope that when you go about the things that you do this week, that you will go with this confidence that if we will go to the people God sends us to, and we will share the message that God sends us to share, that the Holy Spirit is going to transform people's lives the way that he did in Nineveh. Jonah preached a message he didn't even want them to hear, but he did it anyway. And he was waiting to see the destruction, but in his heart, he knew that God was going to take that word and transform that nation because of the word that has gone forth. Can I get a few people who will partner with me in Brevard County to preach the word of truth? Not that it's popular, not that it's going to be received by everybody well, but if we can get the right person to respond, the king of Assyria commanded all of the people to go around in sackcloth and repent in ashes, and even the cattle. You know, one of the things I love about the book of Jonah is it says that when God is speaking to Jonah and talking about how should he not be concerned about the city as well, one of the bewildering lines for a long time for me was God said, and besides that, they got a lot of cattle in there too. And it's like, well, what is God? Cows can't repent. And then I realized that even the cattle, the livestock, were being involved in the repentance process because they were going around putting sackcloth and ashes on the cattle as well. And God said, man, I have special regard for the cows right now. And you know, he sent a revival to the city. Jonah saw a city-wide revival that became a nationwide revival, and their destruction as a civilization did not come until they fell back into their sinful ways. Another prophet had to go to them and preach the same message, prophet Nahum, and then Babylon came and conquered them. And so Syria here, he says, the glory is going to be like that of the children of Israel. And what they didn't realize was that they were on the verge of destruction. And so verse number 4 says, in that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane. That's the part that shows to you that Syria is being compared to Israel's glory, but the glory of Jacob was diminishing. The fatness of his flesh is growing lean. Harvest is disappearing. The heads of grain are not enough to where you need tools anymore. All you need are the works of your hand. The grape crop is failing. The olive trees are not being fruitful. And he just describes that the harvest is diminishing in Israel. And I want to ask you, how's the harvest looking in your life? Because here's the reality. I hear people talking on the news that are saying, you know, people's economic reality is worse now than it used to be. And, you know, honestly, I haven't looked at the numbers, analyzed the numbers enough to know if that's the case or not. I know what the church's reality is. I thank God we're solvent. We owe no man anything. We continue to be able to support missions at a wonderful, wonderful pace. Very excited about that. All of that is wonderful, fine, and good. But if you're, I know what my financial outlook looks like. I look at that through the eyes of faith. I don't worry about that. But if you're looking at the fruit of your lifestyle, if it is diminishing, it should cause you to reflect upon your relationship with God. I'm getting ready to show you that in the scriptures here. No matter what is going on, if you're in a time of abundance, thank God for it. and say, God, I pray that you would keep me on the path of righteousness, that I'll walk in obedience in such a manner that I will not see crop failure. I will not see drought. I will not see deterioration. The devourer will have no impact on my life. God, I'm going to continue on this path. Listen to what it says. When all of that harvest is failing, when the society and the economy is falling apart, in that day, a man will look to his maker. Remember, this is a message going to Syria. Do you realize that what God is saying here is, I am not just the creator of the Jewish people, I am creator of all mankind. Will the judge of all the earth not do right? The judge of the spirits of all mankind. And he says, in that day, a man will look to his maker and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. He will not look to the altars, the work of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. And what is being said here is that when society is falling apart, it is a time for us to look to our maker and respect the Holy One of Israel, and focus on him, not on the works of our hands. Focus on God instead of what God can do for you. Focus on God instead of his works. I read a story one time about a man who was, he stopped at the same breakfast diner every morning, and one morning it was taking a little bit longer, and he was getting a little antsy, and the waitress noticed and said, you know, hey, is everything okay? And he said, well, I'm just about late for an appointment. And she said, oh, you know, who's your appointment with? And he said, well, my appointment is my wife. And she said, oh, you know, where's she at? And he said, well, she's in a nursing home. And every morning I have coffee with her as she has her breakfast there. And so I need to hurry up and get there. And she said, oh, will she be upset if you're late? And he said, no, she won't even know if I'm late, because her mental capacity or memory is not there. She has no recognition of what time it is. And said, oh, well, if she doesn't know you, why are you in such a hurry to get there? And he said this, because I know who she is. Because I know who she is. And see, that man realized there wasn't anything that his wife could do for him anymore. But he wanted to be there with her. You know, fathers, I've heard it said that one of the greatest gifts that you could give to your children is to be passionately in love with their mother. To be passionately in love with your wife and demonstrate it. I hope that your kids never go to bed at night wondering whether or not you love one another or not. And so it says, have respect for the Holy One of Israel. I know the temptation. Believe me, I know the temptation. The temptation is to say, I work hard and Sunday is the only day that is my day. I don't have to do anything. It's my day. Actually, sir, it is not your day. It is God's day. The New Testament says this is the Lord's day. They gathered together on the Lord's day. It was when they didn't quit going to the Sabbath or to the synagogue on the Sabbath. They did that. But when it came time to worship as believers in Jesus Christ, they gathered on the first day of the week. They gathered together and they worshiped him. And when they did, they prayed. And when they did, they shared the word and they fellowshiped together and they grew in faith and they grew in numbers. And rather than saying, you know what, family, I'd just like to go to the beach, or I'd like to go boating, or like to go golfing. I'd like to do that. What if you and I can tell you the message that I'm preaching this Sunday, but then you wouldn't have any reason to come. But I've got a message to you men that I want to share. It applies to everybody. Ladies, you can come too. It's going to apply to you as well, but it's specifically geared to men. And so Sunday morning, 9:30 Sunday school, worship's at 10:30. Come and demonstrate the priority that you have made God in your relationship. For his eyes will have respect on the Holy One of Israel. I pray that you will sow respect and you will be able to reap respect. If you demand respect from others, but you do not show respect for God, you're a hypocrite. I pray that we will sow respect and we will sow honor. And as a result, others will see that we deserve to be honored as well. And so it says, they'll not look to the altars. They will not respect what their fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense of the altars. I want to ask you, what are you going to rely on at the end of your life? Are you going to rely on your bank account? Are you going to rely upon your resume as if that's going to impress God? How about the houses that you've built or the cars that you've driven? All of the toys that we get so enamored in. Guys, let me tell you, when things fall apart, all of that stuff begins to lose its luster, and it's just another burden. A few years ago when the economy collapsed, I remember seeing a story on a pawn shop in some of the most affluent parts of the country, and their customers would pull up in their limousines and they would send people in to pawn all of the things that they went about and bragged about because their economy was falling apart. And they said, you know what? I can live without that, but I got to have the finances. You know what? The truth of the matter is the only thing that successfully gets across death's threshold and gets us across the threshold of heaven into the presence of Jesus is having Jesus as the Lord of our life. Guys, I challenge you. If you don't have a church, if you're not worshiping, if you don't have somebody that's teaching you to be a better man or to be a better father, come and join us at Merit Assembly of God. And we want to help you to develop a mindset of awe and appreciation for the sacrifice that Jesus made on our account. Father, I just pray right now. We're getting ready to enter in a great weekend. We're celebrating Father's Day on Sunday. May we honor you as our Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I pray, God, that we would realize what a treasure. Lord, bless every father, every biological father, and Lord, bless every spiritual father as well. In Jesus' name, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away, purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my one thing?